Okay, can I have your attention? We'll reconvene to open session. Can we have the report out of closed session?
Very briefly, there's no reportable action.
Okay, thank you. So with that, can we have a roll call vote? Or pardon me, a roll call, and then we'll have the pledge.
Director Sasania, Director Millage.
Here.
Director Tornatsky.
Here.
Vice President Storm.
Here.
President Ohilski.
Present.
Thank you.
And could you please join me in a pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, okay, so with that then, we'll go ahead. Before I get to item number 7, which is the election of the board president and the board vice president, I'd like to congratulate Vicki on her election to the board and welcome her to the board. Okay. And my reelection, so.
Congratulations.
It's kind of, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but, you know. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and have the election of the 2017 board president and board vice president. Renee, would you like to give us an introduction to this, please? Or Roy, pardon me. Roy, would you like to? Or I can do it myself.
That would work for me, of course.
Okay, so as our bylaws require that at our first meeting in January that we elect the president and vice president, we have a one-year term. So we're at that position today. So the procedure is relatively straightforward in the staff report. There's nominations taken for the president of the board, public comment on the nominations for the president, and then a vote taken unless it's by acclamation, which means there's only one nominee. And everybody's in agreement with that. And then staff will count the ballots if there is a more than one nominee, and they'll report the results. And then after we complete that process, we go through the exact same process for the vice president. Any questions? Okay, so with that, then, we'll go ahead and take nominations for president of the board. Yes, Vicki.
I nominate John Eric Storm.
Thank you. We don't need seconds for these, do we, Roy? Okay. So we have a nomination of John Eric Storm for president of the board. Any other nominations? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and take public comment on the nominations for president. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back. We can take a voice vote since we only have a single candidate. All in favor?
Aye.
Nobody was going to leave me out here hanging. I okay, all opposed. So we do have that by acclamation. If you want to take over now or you want me to finish the election process, how are you? Okay, I can do that. So we'll take nominations for vice president of the board.
Vicki Millage.
So it's moved by President-elect Storm. There any other nominations? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to public comment. Yes, Steve.
I'm sorry, yes.
You have to come up to the microphone, I'm sorry.
Due to seniority and other benefits to the community, I believe Louis Tornowski deserves the nomination for vice president of the board.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. I'll go ahead and nominate Lou, so we'll have, might as well. I'm not going to run, so. Okay, so then you do have the ballot on your table here, so we'll have to do the ballot, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You want to just fold them and hand them over? Yep, we got four.
Ballot by Lou Ternatsky for Lou Ternatsky. Ballot by Vicki Millage for Vicki Millage. Just a co-hinky-dink, because I just grabbed them randomly. Ballot by Marshall Hiskey for Vicki Millage. And ballot by John Eric Storm for Vicki Millage.
Okay, thank 3-1. You. I want to express my appreciation to everybody for the hard work that they put in over the past year. I know that John Eric and I have worked hard, and I appreciate you taking over the reins. So I'm going to move over there. I'll be available. Vicki, you need to move over here. Well, I probably should move my name tag, right?
Wait, that was almost a disaster. So I just want to say briefly, I'm humbled to be named president by my colleagues. Just briefly, I want to make it plain that I feel we always need to remember this is a democratically elected board. We owe it to the voters to do what we said we would do in our campaigns, and that's all five of us. And then I'll use less than 3 minutes. And then, no, that's okay. And then use our best judgment on everything else. And you know, that's democracy. It's not always perfect, and I bet I'm not the only one who's unhappy about some of the things about the last election, but we have to accept that. Elections have consequences. It's a system we have, and the legitimacy of what we do here flows from it. And I ran on protecting the fire department, doing more with parks, keeping the water safe, and enhancing local control. And I think a majority of us ran on that ladder of local control issues, so we'll move on that. But thank you again for putting your faith in me. So with that, we move on to public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening. My name is Steve Best. Already?
Time flies when you're having fun.
I sent some information out a few days ago about the local media site called Next Door, and it came to my awareness that there is a application within that media program that allows the public agencies to have a voice, to be able to have a position within that media site that allows them to be able to communicate directly to the members of the community and allows the community to have direct feedback to the CSD. I think it would be in the best interest of the CSD and the community and the members of the community to have the CSD look into placing an application and getting involved more with the community. I think that would be an excellent opportunity. I'm also looking at this as a opportunity to have a fresh start. 2017 is a prime number, and this is a prime year for us to try to get our act together as a community. We have a lot of things to be done, and The future of Los Osos and the future of the CSD is a really important. New beginnings, the relationship with the county is really important. We need to be working on that most diligently so that we have a good cooperative relationship, that the county has respect for us and we have respect for the county, not fear of the county for what they will or will not do with us. We need to make strides in that relationship so we have a more equal footing. We also need to work on one of the most important things. There's a lot of things that we need, such as utilities and fire and safety and all that, those things, and being able to manage our budget. But we also, more than just a need, we have a necessity, which is meeting the needs of the community. And one of those prime needs is to have adequate parks and recreation facilities, improve the quality of life, and that and to serve this community. And I think on that part, we have tried to make some good beginnings, but we are still a long way away from making that happen. There's a lot of things that we can do, and we can a lot of things that come up that say, well, how do we do that? You know, we can't do that. Where's the money going to come from? Well, I believe we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And we have a lot of things that we can't take every approach that we have in terms of where's the money going to come from. We have to put our mind to it and address it. Every problem has a solution, and we need to address it that way.
Thank you.
And find our solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on items not on the agenda? Okay. We'll proceed on to administrative and committee reports. Item A is fire department report. Welcome.
Thank you, honorable board members, president, vice president. I'm Josh Taylor, battalion chief for CAL FIRE, San Luis Obispo County Fire, South Bay Fire Department. With me tonight is Travis Craig, our newly appointed fire marshal. During our code adoption last year, you met Chief Mike Salas. He's gone to another position, and Travis, who's been in the Fire Prevention Bureau, is going to be working with us now in the battalion chief capacity. So he came to just give me moral support. This is my first board meeting, so get me
we'll
through
be
it. First off, I'd like to say this weekend we're expecting more rain. We've had rain. Thankfully, it's finally come back. I just want to throw out just a word of caution around power lines. When we get the winds here, I am from San Luis Obispo County. I know a lot of the county. If anybody in the community, I know there's people that are in the community listening tonight, as well as on AGP via the TV. If you this weekend, if we do have the winds and the power lines come down, please don't go near them. Contact 911 or PG&E. And this weekend, if conditions warrant, we'll be getting some more staff with our reserve pool up this weekend to assist. Because typically here, when the winds come, the trees fall, and we want to make sure we can support the community until public works, because they'll be obviously busy and get in, start moving trees out of the way and keep the traffic flow open. So with that, I'm going to dig into our board report for December. For November. So Station 15 South Bay responded to 102 calls in November with 8 back-to-back calls. 2 of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support. Of these 102 incidents, 72 were medical, 34 of those, so almost half, were advanced life support provided by our paramedics. CAL FIRE firefighter rode in the hospital with slow ambulance 3 times during the month of November. 2 calls required staging. 5 of those were traffic collisions. 6 reported as fires. 19 public assists. And 5 is just general emergencies. Our reserve company 15 was called to cover the station and respond to emergencies in the month of November a total of 10 times. Moving on to administration. After being in Anaheim for 7 months for mechanical electrical issues, our engine 215, our reserve engine, was returned. It had a defective light bar, which was replaced. And while that engine was out of the area for maintenance, we had a reserve county fire engine 212 here in its place. On November 7th, 2016, the command vehicle was taken out of service to have the tires rotated, and some front end work done and some seat upholstery done. That was prior to me taking the position. And moving on, November 9th, reserve firefighter Patrick Leonard, who resigned. He got a full-time job with CAL FIRE up in the San Benito Monterey unit as a fire apparatus engineer. He worked in this community for 3+ years and was a valued asset, and we wish him well in his endeavors. On November 26, 2016, Medic Rescue 15 was sent to Perry Ford for check-in engine lights, and we had to utilize our spare reserve engine in its place, and Medic Rescue 15 returned to service on November 28th. Item number 7, in late November, Battalion Chief John McEwen was reassigned to our dispatch center in San Luis, and I was assigned to your battalion chief here in Los Osos. I don't even have my bio. Sorry, I missed the whole piece. Started my career 26 years ago. I was actually started on in Battalion 1 on Highway 41 at Morro Toro, which is Station 14, between Atascadero and Morro Bay at the ripe old age of 19. And I've been in this unit. I've been worked in several CAL FIRE units, but the majority of my career has been in different assignments. Worked in North County, South County, and in different capacities. I'm honored to serve the community of Los Osos and excited for the opportunity to partner with the board and community to improve our fire department and services. During the month of November, Station 15, South Bay, in cooperation with KSBY and the San Luis Obispo County Firefighters Benevolent Association, kicked off Operation Santa Claus and the Season of Hope charity events, providing unwrapped presents to needy children under the care of San Luis Obispo County Child Protective Services. And the Season of Hope provides food and toys to local food banks and toy agencies. On November 11th, South Bay Station 15 personnel attended the Veterans Day services at the Los Osos Valley Mortuary on Los Osos Valley Road. Item number 10, in first week of November, Fire Captain Paramedic Brendan Colwell once again taught a successful trench rescue operations course in Los Osos to 24 students from agencies throughout the county and state, and also acted as a train-the-trainer so that one of the students can go back and take the lessons learned and teach their people so we can broaden our experience. And this course focuses on safe entry and removal of patients who are victims of trench collapse. And this class meets all California OSHA emergency worker regulations. The next week, Captain Colwell also taught a surf rescue operations course to 15 students from San Luis Obispo and Monterey County. Training focused on proper boat operations, ocean and surf rescue techniques, incident personnel, and civilian safety during water rescues. Obviously, we have a significant threat around the bay and whatnot, so that's really great that we're able to get that training out to other public agencies. On November 11th, a paramedic student from Cuesta College conducted a job shadow behind Station 15, South Bay Fire Apparatus Engineer Paramedic Terry Borja throughout an 8-hour day, and it was here to learn station routines, crew training, and responding to emergency calls to get that hands-on feel. And then on November 21st, Station 15, we started the background process for 9 reserve firefighter candidates. And this process, conducted prior to the conditional offer of employment, and ascertains criminal and civil judgments, furthermore ensures that the applicant has an acceptable driving record. And we were fortunate that the Sheriff's Department was able to assist us with that. Item number 14, under fire prevention. On November 18th, Station 15 hosted Monarch Elementary School on a station tour of approximately 62 children, ranging from 7 to 8 years old. That's a lot of people. Firefighters provided a tour of Medic Engine 15 and Medic Rescue 15, along with basic fire safety tips In addition, each child was provided with stickers and other trinkets. And then lastly, item number 15, on November 29th, 2016, South Bay staff held a hands-only CPR demonstration for the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts of Los Osos. The demonstration included about 8 and 9-year-olds and their parents who had the opportunity to observe and train on CPR mannequins with our paramedics on site for help and support while learning a life-saving skill and assist the scouts in earning a new badge. And that's all I have on my report. If you have any questions or comments, I'd be glad to talk.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to working with you. Any questions from the board? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Moving right along to the Sheriff Department report.
Good evening. I'm Jim Taylor. I'm the Sheriff's Commander here in Los Osos. For the reporting period between December 2nd and January 5th, the Sheriff's Office received a total of 489 calls for service in Los Osos. Included in that number were 44 traffic stops made by deputies on motor vehicles, 10 foot patrols conducted on homeless encampments, and 8 pedestrian stops by deputies. We received reports of 3 vandalisms. One was to a door on a storage unit here in Los Osos. A second report was a damage to a golf cart out at the golf course. And then we had a car window that had the rear window smashed out on Tapadero Avenue. There were a total of 11 theft reports. We had a Buddha statue stolen from the front yard of a residence in the 600 block of Ramona on December 5th. We had wooden art stolen from a front yard in the 2800 block of Rodman on December 8th. Where there was a theft of a jacket from an unlocked car in the 1100 block of LOVR on December 8th. We had a report of Amazon package stolen from a front doorstep in the 300 block of LOVR on December 9th. Package stolen from the front doorstep in the 200 block of Manzanita on the 12th of December. We had change stolen from an unlocked car in the 2700 block of Crockett on the 14th of December. Items stolen from a shed in the rear yard of a residence in the 300 block of Manzanita on the 16th of December. A purse stolen from an unlocked car in the 1800 block of 13th on the 23rd of December. Checkbook stolen from a residence in the 700 block of Lilac on the 24th. Palm trees stolen from in front of the residence in the 2200 block of Humboldt on Christmas Eve. And we had items stolen from an unlocked car in the 1200 block of 5th Street on the 30th of December. There were 4 reported burglaries. We had purse reported taken from a residence in the Sea Oaks Mobile Home Park on the 6th of December. There was a window smash on a vehicle, and items were taken on the 7th of December. That vehicle was parked out on Turi Road. We had a person report the loss, or I should say the stealing of $3,000 in casino winnings, a little unusual. That occurred at a residence in the 100 block of Marinella on the 22nd. And there were tools stolen from a garage in the 2800 block of Pecho Valley Road on the 23rd. There were 3 incidents of domestic violence that were reported to us that resulted in arrests, and there were also 2 incidents of a battery against another person reported. We had 1 negligent discharge of a firearm. We had a man who fired a handgun into a wood pile during a heated argument in the 1400 block of 7th Street on December 28th. That subject was arrested by the deputies. We had a total of 18 arrests for the month. Broken down, we had 6 warrant arrests, 4 arrests for narcotics, 3 arrests for domestic violence, 1 arrest for abusing the 911 system, 1 arrest for terrorist threats made against the suspect's family, 1 arrest for lying to a peace officer, 1 arrest for negligent discharge of a firearm, and 1 arrest for child endangerment. Currently, our staffing is 1 commander, 2 sergeants. We have 21 deputies at the station. We have 2 additional deputies that are going through field training program. There is a total of 8 deputies that are going through the FTO program. 1 will be completing next week. The remaining deputies will be off of field training and completed and sent out to the stations by May. So we will start seeing hopefully some additional bodies coming to our station. It's still my goal to try and once we have the staffing, get the schedule such that we have a second graveyard car so we can have a car for this area 24/7 and then a second graveyard car that will be able to handle the North Coast. But I can't do that until I get some of these bodies off of training. And that is a report for the month.
Any questions from the board? Thank you. That's good news about the second car. Thank you. Okay, Utilities Department report. It rained.
Hi, good evening, board. Happy New Year. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm here to report on the operations of the Utilities Department for the month of November 2016. Our water production was 13.9 million gallons, which was an increase from last year by approximately 24%. Consumption for the period of October 11th through the 14th of December was 12.9 million gallons, and that generated $171,281 in revenue. And this represents a decrease in consumption but by approximately 5% and an increase in revenue by approximately 8%. So there are graphs and tables attached in your board packets. We also did the first draw lead and copper sampling program for September, and this is a triannual sampling that does every 3 years. That's what that means. And I'd just like to thank all of the volunteers that do this because we try to use the same households, and sometimes there's a change in ownership, and we send out letters prior to this, and we've got a lot of good historical data. So, and the results came in non-detects for lead. And this is also only in the household plumbing, so it has nothing to do with, you know, we have absolutely no water service lines that are made of lead. So our water is good. The LOCSD and Golden State Water Company intertie project's beginning, and we sent out a little notice to some of the owners in the area. There's also businesses. It's mainly businesses in that area on the corner of 11th and Los Olivos. John Madonna Construction was awarded the contract by your board. And there may be a few, you know, the cost will be shared by both purveyors, but there may be just some lane closures. That's all. And maybe, a little bit of interruption, but notices will be sent out to everybody prior to that. They went ahead and started mobilization on the 30th, and I don't know how far they've gotten right now with all this rain, but it's nice to have rain. Which brings me to drainage, which in November, according to our crew, that they measured 3.27 inches of rain just down at the yard. So, and that brought the total for the year up through November to 14.69. And homeowners in Los Osos can purchase sandbags from us. We do sell those for 45 cents a piece or in, you know, bundles of 10 for $4.50. And then the sand is provided by the county, and we have a pile up at the fire department and also one down at our water service yard on the El Moro side. So the sand is free to the customers that live in some of those low-lying areas that get flooded. So this concludes my report for the evening, and I'm available for any questions.
Does anyone have any questions for Margaret? Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, general manager report.
Good evening. All staff, water, fire, and administration have been transferred over to ADP, the new payroll service for the district. We'll be splitting the fee with fire. There are 10 district employees plus 5 directors, which would be about $49.01 bimonthly, and a total of 27 reserves at this time. So that cost is about, is $87.88 bimonthly cost for fire. This cost will go up and down depending on the amount of reserves there are available. This fee also covers time cards, payroll processing, all the tax filing services, new hire reporting, electronic reports, employee access, general ledger interface, quite a few other, and a couple of HR services. We'll be getting 2 months free because of a sign-up promotion, and the setup cost usually is $250, but it's been lowered to $25. I met with the union employee reps, Slo Sia, to discuss Ann Kudart's and Margaret Faulkner's positions and reassignments. The meet and confer that we did on December 5th is sufficient for SLOCIA. So attached, you'll also find the updated org chart and the responsibilities that Ann and Margaret are currently responsible for. Also, regarding staff, I just wanted to let you know that we have added some office hours for the front office. So on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, the front office where you pay your bills will be open from 9 to 5. And I want to thank Liz for that, because she will be the one that will be moving her workstation over to the front office so she can make that happen for everybody. So we really appreciate that, her doing that for us. But regarding the bookkeeper, I've been working with Waterdam on the changes that have been requested by the Finance Committee on the budget presentation and the summary, the addition of the cash on hand balances for the balance sheet and such, which are attached. Ever from Waterdam has been made aware of our desire to have a local bookkeeper, and he's been very gracious, and he absolutely understands the situation, and he is available to help with the transition for as long as we need him. So he's very much aware of that. And regarding that, the request for proposal for the bookkeeper was sent out on December 12th. Deadline was December 30th. We chose Robert Stilts, who is a local bookkeeper here in Los Osos. And his fee will be a flat $3,600 a month to do all the services that we are requesting from him. The RFP is attached to my report, and his proposal is under 11H. I've met with the battalion chief, Josh Taylor, and to discuss current issues and approaches that we're going, you know, all the changes that we're making right now. We went over new payroll procedures, AP voucher system. We had an issue with the sewer lateral, a discovery of a new septic tank that we were not aware of. And we've also been working with, they had some issues in the kitchen with some pipes and such over in the building. The NBS report is attached. It's a copy of the fiscal 2015-2016 continuing disclosure annual report prepared by NBS for the Wastewater Assessment District 1 Limited Obligation Improvement Bonds for Board Review. This report must be disseminated by January 31st, so that's why it is attached in my general manager's report. In addition to the report, the CSD will have to turn in our audit. They will, by January 30th as well, they will accept a draft version, since that's what it will be in, is in draft version, and then we'll send them the hopefully approved audit version in February, and there seems like they're going to be okay with that. Parks and Rec, I'll be meeting with the county this month to discuss the possibility of the dog park at the requested site location next to the county park tennis courts. The county is open to discussion on making a change to their current county park plan to include the possibility of a dog park. There are some items that obviously have to be addressed or considered. One of the main issues is the snail plan HCP issue. The Parks and Rec's chair and the board president, I informed them that this will obviously move my feasibility analysis report to the board to February. The Parks and Rec committee discussed putting a bench at the 3rd Street District well site. I called the Special District Risk Management Authority, and they are okay, and we are covered on that site, so putting a bench there in case anything happens, we're covered. At that time, the committee had also asked about putting trash in that area, so in case there was some trash, and Mission County Disposal has offered to do that for free for us, so we really appreciate that over there. As far as the bench or picnic table, Mr. Edwards has graciously offered to supply the district with the picnic table as a memorial to his daughter who passed away, Margay. And we really like to thank him for that donation. Boardroom upgrades and expenses. People were asking what the final count was. And so I've listed all the different expenses, all the upgrades to the closed session area was about $3,100. We received $4,700 from the landlord contribution. That leaves us with a little bit with about $1,500 or so to work towards the kitchen employee room. And it looks like we're going to end up pitching in about $600 to make that happen if that's the direction we end up going. The movers' expenses, IT was probably the most because we had to prepare to have everything available for AGP for everything to work in here. General items, grants. I've been meeting with Rob Miller, district engineer, to discuss the capital improvements list to match with some grant possibilities that are out there via state, and there's some other grants out there. As far as the workers' comp for volunteers, SDRMA, regarding the volunteers resolution 2016-38 that was passed, I believe, in November, there is going to be a cost to that. We thought it'd be free, but it's not going to be. It's going to be about $200 a year, so around that amount. Capital improvements list, auditors, and the assets list. These are some items that we thought we would be receiving by now from the different people. I have attached a capital improvements list prepared by staff and district engineer. It's a tiny bit different. There were some items that just kind of needed to be moved up to the top that is originally a little bit lower to the bottom that need to happen prior to some other items. So just a little bit of movement there. And this has been, it was approved by the district engineer. He agreed that it was something that could be moved. The assets list, that's in the auditor's hand, and they didn't feel that until they were complete, at least with the draft audit, they really didn't want to release that because it would be premature. That's what they're doing right now, is checking on all those items and making sure that, you know, we still have those items, that, you know, those items are worth that amount and all that. So they promised that it'll be in the audit, and then it'll be available for everybody at that time. And also, obviously, the audit will have a draft audit in February. We sent our request to Cal Poly to post our intern position for the Facebook page. As part of our goal to work with Golden State, we worked on the Superhero Christmas Parade for Los SS, and that was really fun. I also wanted to mention at this time that we had a Los Osos resident, Jerry Garbutt. I hope I'm saying her name right. She donated a painting of it's a print of one of her paintings of you know, the ocean view in Los Osos, and it is in the front office, so that way everybody can see it. We didn't want to hog it to ourselves, so it's right there when you first walk into the office. And we terminated the rental, which was also a request from the finance committee. The main mini storage, and that has been cleared out, and that's a $240 a month savings. And unless there's any questions from the board.
Any further questions? Thank you very much. Legal counsel report.
Just very briefly, we will be doing a little Brown Act review at the next board meeting. At this point in time, I think what we're going to do is have the screen across from you so that we go over it. And I use the word review on purpose. I don't do it as training, but it is good every year or so to just retouch all those things collectively so that we keep in mind how to go about complying with the Brown Act properly.
Excellent. Thank you. Any questions for Roy? LOCAC report. Why am I looking at you?
I'm not allowed.
You can't do it.
Yeah. Right?
Nobody? Okay. Chamber. Anybody here from the chamber? No? Okay. Appointment of ad hoc committees. At this time, I'm going to appoint Director Tornatsky and me to an AB2701 fact-finding committee. Will report back to the board and the public about the district's obligations, if any, on that. I'm going to appoint Vice President Millage and myself to a district organization ad hoc committee. We're going to review our right-sizing of our organization in terms of services and everything else. We'll report back to the board by the June meeting, and I'll have further appointments and everything else probably next month. Item I, director's announcements of outside meetings. Anybody go to RAC or Anything else? Nope. That's December for you.
There was a RAC meeting.
There was. Okay.
I can report on some things that might be of interest to us.
Please do.
Follow your microphone.
Can you?
Much of the meeting was dealing with things such as ag ponds. It was a spirited discussion that went on for a better part of an hour. One of the things that was brought up by Ray D'Enzo is there's a new web page that people can access and look at in a more continuous kind of basis what rain and reservoir levels are changing in our county, all over the county, so you can look at sort of our venue and anywhere you want. So if you go to www.slocountywater.org and then go to real-time water data link, you can find some very interesting stuff. So it was a generally kind of a geeky meeting, and this is one you might want to look at.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, were there any previously asked questions that haven't been answered in the report?
No.
Okay. Are there any items to be pulled from the consent agenda? Okay. And at this time, I'll open public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. That's for items in 9 and 11 only. Okay, Mr. Best.
This is Steve Best. I've been looking at the one of the things that would be a benefit to the community. One of the things that came up a lot with in keeping in touch with, for example, the Nextdoor website is there is a genuine interest in having more more eyes on what's happening at night. Within the community for a matter of safety. And I think there should be a, some interest put upon the ability to have increase the auxiliary, volunteer auxiliary patrol program. Should generate some interest on through the community as far as how to enroll, who can qualify, and get more people utilize the vehicles that we have, two vehicles currently, to my understanding, that are available for this application. And I see this being something that's underutilized as a tool that would be much to the advantage of the community. For example, there's a campment right behind the library right now in that little ravine right there, and these kind of things would be well served to have that kind of interaction. Also, in the interest of having a better cooperation between the county and the CSD, I'm wondering if there has been any interest in providing a joint meetings with LOCAC and the CSD, rather than having just a report from the LOCAC, or having LOCAC report to, or having the CSD report to LOCAC. I think in the interest of the community and cooperation, and also efficiency of spending that goes on within the community to benefit the community, I think having a joint meetings to identify scope and responsibilities and to streamline those efforts would be much to the benefit of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment on administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda? Raise your hand. Okay. I will close public comment.
I get to do this finally. I'm so excited. I'd like to make a motion.
I would love a motion.
I'd like to move that we receive and file the administrative committee reports and that we approve the items on the consent agenda subject to a roll call vote since there are resolutions.
So moved. Do we have a second? Thank you, Director Tornatsky. Roll call vote, please.
Director Ohilski. Sorry.
Aye.
Director Tornatsky.
Aye.
Vice President Millage?
Aye.
President Storm?
Aye. Okay, with that, we're moving on to our general action items. The bylaws say that we need to look at the bylaws every year, and to that end, President Ohilski appointed an ad hoc committee for that. So first we're going to hear from Roy, and then from...
From Renee,
and then from and then from Director Ohilski on these revisions.
In accordance with Section 14.1 of the Board of Directors' Bylaws and Rules of Decorum, the Board's bylaws policy shall be reviewed annually at the first regular meeting in January and considered for adoption at the first regular meeting in February. Staff recommends that the Board review and discuss the proposed 2017 bylaws and rules of decorum, which are attached, and after taking public comment, give direction to staff regarding amendments to the bylaws and rules of decorum policy. This item will be approved along with the consent calendar unless it is pulled by a director for separate consideration. If so, staff recommends that the board adopt with the following motion. I move that the board direct staff to prepare a resolution adopting amendments to the board's bylaws and rules of decorum as discussed and agreed, and to bring said resolution back before the board on the consent calendar at the February 2nd, 2017 meeting.
Thank you, Director Ohilski.
Yes. I think that in the discussion that's in the staff report is relatively straightforward. I did appoint an ad hoc committee of myself and Vice President Storm to review the bylaws. And primarily the significant changes are, or the substantive changes are in Sections 9 and 11. Part of what happens is you do bylaws and updating them every year, and as an attorney I can speak to this and so can Roy. When you just look at certain sections, then you get inconsistencies in there. So, for example, one of the things that has been changed, it mentioned a lot of times in there. Sometimes it said board of directors. Sometimes it said just board. Sometimes it said directors. So it's just a change to make consistent that every time that appears, it's board of directors. And then some of the times in there, it used the word director, and sometimes it used board members. So for consistency purposes, we just went to director. And then sometimes it mentioned in there president, and sometimes it said chairperson. So we just went to consistency on that to make sure that everything were consistent. So those changes, and I brought a red line with me. I mean, they're just you can see it's just nothing substantive in there. It's just changing for consistency purposes. But we do have two areas of significant changes and substantive changes, which were in Section 9, which is the director's compensation section, and then Section 11, which is the committee section. So I'm going to go over those in a little more detail as to what we're proposing to do here. And then we'd like to get some public comment on it. And even since we prepared this these draft bylaws for inclusion in the staff report, John Eric and I have come up with some changes we'd also like to make in them at this point. So I'll lay that out. We can get some public input if anybody has public input on this, and then we'll bring it back for adoption. We'll give direction to staff today, and we'll bring it back for adoption at our February meeting. So the first area that is where there's the substantive comments is in Section 9, which is compensation. And I think the changes are basically not significant, but because by state law we're dictated that a director cannot get any compensation greater than $100 for a single day and a maximum of $600 a month. We're not required to take that compensation. Some of us do, some of us don't. I don't want to get into that. But most of us aren't hitting the $600 anyway, because that takes attendance at a lot of meetings, et cetera, because you're looking at $50 to $100. So the attendance at other meetings was in Section 9.2 was increased from $50 to $100. That was the one substantive change. And the other one was that the money that is not taken by a director, so I don't take my compensation, and I'll just put that out there. So the money that if a director does not take his compensation, that would be put into a director training fund. We have to have these training sessions that are for the directors. And there's also optional, the SDRMA actually has a leadership thing in San Luis Obispo in April. So we just wanted to make sure that that money was available for use to the benefit of the board and the board members. So any compensation that's not taken will be put in that director's training fund, which will pay for our attendance, our AB 1234 training, our sexual harassment training. I think they don't call it that anymore, do they? Or whatever they call it.
It's probably workplace harassment.
Yeah, now, whatever.
We dinosaurs have trouble with
yes.
that.
So, but those are the two things that we have to do. And then, like I said, there's leadership meetings that are available. We have the San Luis Obispo chapter of the Special Districts Association. We have a seminar up in Templeton every beginning of every year for new board members as to how to operate as a board member. So that has X cost attached to it. So that's really the two changes in there is the just increase from 50 to 100 and then any money that's not expended not taken by a director would be just put in this fund for director training. So do I have any questions from board members? Okay, the next one is the committees. So what we wanted to do is clarify the committee structure. Right now, we have three committees. Actually four right now because we have Parks and Rec. So we have four standing committees right now. We have utilities, we have emergency services, we have finance, and we have Parks and Recreation. And we do have a situation where a few years ago we set up the terms on the committees to be staggered terms so we would have some continuity so everybody wasn't termed out at the same time. But there was a question just about responsibility. So what we propose to do here is we're basically going to do, first of all, from the board's perspective, instead of having two board members at each meeting, we're going to have a board chair, and then the president will appoint an alternate. So that will allow a different board member to attend if there's something of interest to him because we can only have two there. Otherwise, it breaks the Brown Act rules. So we'll have a board chairman identified or chairperson identified, appointed by the president, and then we'll have an alternate. So if, for example, I was the chair of the Financial Advisory Committee and John Eric was the alternate, but Lou wanted to go to that meeting, then John Eric wouldn't have to go, and then Lou could attend, so we wouldn't be breaking the Brown Act. So it's just more of a functional kind of thing, so we can make ourselves function more efficiently. So that was the first one. And then the second one is, instead of going to fixed terms for the members, what we thought would be more productive is to follow the model that's used, for example, by cities and the County of San Luis Obispo for their planning commission appointments, et cetera. So if I'm going to be appointed to the planning commission in San Luis Obispo County, each supervisor has one appointment. So that person, Bruce Gibson appoints one person to the planning commission, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we thought that was a more efficient way to go. So, and then that person really serves at the pleasure of that director. So they have to be on the same page with that director, but it also makes the director responsible for that person's actions. So when the director comes up for reelection or whatever, then you can say, okay, your person on this committee was behaving well or was misbehaving. But it does give the committee member a little more sense of responsibility. So we decided to just make these appointments at-will appointments, at the pleasure, and you would serve at the pleasure of the director that actually appointed you to that committee. Now, in the thing that we sent out in the staff report, we talked about certain criteria would be required or certain qualifications would be required to serve on the various committees. And then John Eric and I was on vacation, so we weren't able to communicate really in face-to-face, but we did decide subsequent to the staff report going out that we think it's a little premature at this point to lay out specific qualifications for the committee. So at this point, we're going to just propose to delete that portion about qualifications and just say that it's up to the individual director to determine whether or not you meet what that person feels is the qualification for that committee. So we think that that's a better way to go. If in a year or two we see that there's needs to be specific qualifications, then we'll bring that up. But again, using the Planning Commission in San Luis Obispo City or San Luis Obispo County as a qualifier, I mean, those people just serve as the pleasure of the appointing person, and there are no qualifications required other than what the appointing person decides is the qualifications. So we did that, and I think, you know, where we'd like to go with this is that we do have a number of – this is our current chart of the people whose terms are expiring, et cetera. So what we'd like to do is encourage anybody that's interested in being appointed to a committee. There will be application forms available in our office, and there are application forms in the back there. So those will be available, and we would encourage you to submit those because we are going to be naming these committees relatively quickly here. And that to contact a director that you feel may be interested in appointing you to that committee that you're interested in serving on. That's predicated on the fact that we're going to adopt these bylaws. So that's the two substantive changes to it. And I think if I have any board questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, then we can take public comment. Yes?
In terms of qualifications to serve, right, that would be identified by one of the board members, shouldn't we make it incumbent upon that person to sort of, this is what I can do, or a statement of that sort?
I think in the application form there is that criteria already in there. So
okay,
you'll be able to see and talk to that person, and as well as the other people on the board will be able to see that. You did bring up an interesting point that I failed to talk about because we didn't propose to change this, but right now there are qualifications and requirements that members of our committees do live in the district. For Parks and Rec and for Finance Advisory and Utility, you have to live within the service area, and then that expands out to the whole fire section, Zone A1 for the Emergency Services Advisory, but you do have to live in the district. So I guess there is a qualification from that perspective that you are required to live here. So,
okay, any other questions? Okay, public comments. On the bylaws changes.
Well, my only concern with having, I like the idea of a director appointing them, but a lot of people in the community want to participate but might not know you very well. They don't, or might not feel comfortable necessarily approaching an individual director where they might feel comfortable making an application to the board.
Right.
So that's, and then maybe a director could sponsor them.
Right.
But I just feel like it might make people less comfortable having to approach someone and saying, oh, please appoint me. That's my comment.
Yeah, and can I respond to the
yes,
question
please.
Now rather than wait till the end? No, there is an application form available. I'm not suggesting that you have to contact a director. I'm just saying that that's an option available because when people fill out the application, those will be distributed to all of the board members. So we'll have those available to us when we make our own decision of who or how we want to make the appointment. So it's not a requirement that you buddy up to the director, for lack of a better term, but it's just an option available. It's okay?
Any other public comment? Lynette.
Lynette Tornatsky. I think it would be great if you really got the media involved in this. Contact Bay News, contact whoever you can contact, get it on Facebook, put it on the reader board on the corner of South Bay and LOVR. Just get as many people applying as possible because it's been sometimes a little thin in people applying. Thanks.
Thank you.
No, that's a very good point, Lynette.
Steve Best. I was a little unclear with the some of the explanation there as to whether or not it was the intent for the director of that particular committee to appoint just one or all the members of that that committee, or is it going to be
no? Each director appoints one member of each committee,
and then everybody and the other members are up to the entire board.
Each one of the five directors points the each one of the five members of each committee. So the chairman of the committee has one appointment. The other directors each have one appointment.
And in lieu of having a vice chair, how does that work if the chairman of that committee is not available for that meeting?
There's an alternate.
There's an alternate for that.
Right.
Okay. I just was wanted to be clear on that. The other thing that it seemed to be needing to have some productivity benefit is the fact that with the – I understand the importance of having the parliamentary type of proceedings here with the main meetings, but the committee meetings I tend to feel should be more of a way of open communication rather than being a more formal presentation. Having a formal presentation seems to stifle the creativity, the productivity, idea sharing of solutions and other points of view, and the more structured, the more stifled that particular venue becomes. I'd like to see some advances in that format, so that we can have a more productive and open dialogue with all the things that are should be discussed, and then be able to have that information then come back to the board for some productive decision making. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And can I comment and respond to that last portion?
Yes.
And I did skip over that part, but. When we're talking about having the committee meetings, what we're saying in here is that each issue that's discussed at the committee will have basically two position papers brought to the board. So there'll be the concurring members will basically be able to say, okay, we agreed with this for X, Y, and Z, but we're also going to get the minority opinion brought to us too. So we'll get both sides of the coin from these committees. So it's not just going to be the majority report. It's going to get, be the majority report and the minority report. We're proposing that both those come to us. So we'll be able to, what you're saying is it'd be more productive conversations at the committee, and then we'll get both sides of the coin from those committees. So when we have our discussions here, we'll be able to hear both sides of the story. And I did skip over that, but I wanted to bring that to your attention.
We need to have a better cross-section of the expression.
Okay.
And we'll need everybody's applications so that we can produce them into the next board packet. And so would you like them on the Thursday or on the Wednesday?
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Yes.
As soon as possible. They're available now. Get them in.
I just wanted to be Debbie Downer lawyer for a moment. And that is that these committees are standing committees. They have to follow the Brown Act,
right,
just like you do. So there's essentially no legal way to let them be any more creative in their approach to things, because they have to have an agenda. They can only take action on items that are on the agenda, and they can only have brief discussions about items that aren't on their agenda.
No, I think where Steve was coming from was that just to have a more of a freewheeling conversation rather than a structured conversation. So it's not that we're going to be talking about things that aren't on the agenda, but just to have a little more opportunity to get a variety of opinions. So
we're still in public comment. So is there any other public comment? Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the board. I just want to add real fast, since I was part of this committee, that this is what I talked about just after being named chair. Is I think this also provides us a chain of electoral and democratic accountability to the people on there, and I do think that having the ability to get the opinion of everybody that's, I mean, they're called advisory committees, the idea that we're going to hear everybody's advice instead of, you know, having something that got voted 3-2 and then we're not going to hear the other two. You know, we're not trying to, it's not a muscle politics thing. It's advice that we're seeking. So discussion. So Director Tarnowski.
I think to try to make it a legalistic discussion in the context of a committee basically kills a lot of creativity. I think the committee should come up with, we think this, this, and this, and we also maybe think this, this, and this, but it should be a free-flowing meeting. I mean, that's the way it works out there, and then get away from government, you know, and it's actually fairly creative for America. So
we're going to do our best at that. Vice President Milich?
It's going to be hard to get used to the new title. I agree, and I think what Steve was pushing for was more of a collaborative discussion, and along those lines, the chairperson could be more of a facilitator than a gavel-wielding person. And there are several folks in the community who have skills in that, if anybody wants some pointers.
Right, and I think that's going to, you know, that was the intent of asking for the different points of view instead of just having, you know, but obviously we have to comply with the Brown Act, but we want to make sure that, you know, it's fertile for ideas that are not on the committees, the other directors, hear those fertile ideas. Okay. Right. Any further discussion? Director Tarnowski.
Can't you have time that we're off the Brown Act right now and we're going to just talk like minutes? Then we'll come back and be brownie?
No.
No. No, you can't. He asked, couldn't they just talk and then come back and do the Brown Act? The answer is no. So what I'll do then, John Eric, if it's okay with you, I'm going to take some of the comments that we had regarding the facilitator and the fertile ideas and getting those ideas back to the board. I'm going to tweak that language a little bit, and then I'm also going to go ahead and remove the language about the qualifications language, and then I'll run that by you, and then once we come to concurrence, I'll give it to staff, and then we can put it on our agenda next month.
Okay, so subject to those changes, do we want to?
That's, well, we're just giving direction to staff, okay. So I think if everybody's in agreement, you and I can make those changes. I'll take the first stab at it, then I'll run it by you, and then we'll give them to staff for adoption.
Okay. All right, without objection. Future agenda items. Director Tarnowski, do you have anything for the future agenda? Okay, let me know. Director Ohilski, any future agenda items?
No, not right. Well, not no. For now, no. Next month, I will, though.
Okay, let me know. Vice President Milich, any future agenda items?
Yeah, I would like to agendize Mr. Best's suggestion of considering place for us on the Nextdoor website, and perhaps others, not that one alone.
Okay, I'll take that under advisement. Closing board comments, Director Ohilski.
No, but congratulations again to everybody. We got another year coming forward, so here we are.
Right. Director Tarnowski.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Yeah. I want to thank staff, and I wanted to thank AGP for setting up this room for the meetings, because I know, having gone through this particular facility before the upgrades have happened, it's really, really a significant upgrade, and I want to thank AGP, because I know this is your first time in here, so it seems that everything worked very, very well. So I want to thank you guys, too. Okay, now I'm done.
Director Tarnowski?
I'm very hopeful this is going to be a very productive year. We have changes in administration and changes on the board itself. And I think we're going to get stuff done. It's going to be creative. It's going to make a difference.
Amen. Vice President Milich.
I'm very pleased to be part of this group and looking forward to the next 4 years.
All right. Very quickly, Christmas tree removal for the garbage customers here is January 9th through 13th, depending on your day of service. The trees should be cut into 4-foot sections without stands and placed in the green waste cart or at the curb. It's no extra cost. Flock trees or trees with tinsel will be removed as trash, and those should go in the garbage cart, and that may induce an additional fee. Commercial accounts must pay for service. So having said that, I want to once again thank my colleagues for entrusting me with the chair. I want to welcome Vicki Millage, congratulate her on her election, congratulate Marshall on his reelection, and I just would like to second what Director Tornatsky said. Let's have a productive year. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.
I forgot to talk about Kill the Monster.